What a good morning. Amen? I don't know, I'm just about ready to jump out of my skin, but I won't. How's that? We'll just carry on. God is good. Amen. And all the time, since somebody said that, we live in a society that values doing, that often defines itself by how much we're doing, how busy we are. And for many of us, that is even linked to our identity in the West. I'll give you an example. I bumped into a retired pastor friend of mine just a couple weeks ago, and I asked the question, how are you today? And when I ask, how are you, I mean like qualitatively, how are you doing? But the answer was, well, I've got 3 preaching engagements in the month of July. I'm really busy. That was the answer. I'll tell you that it's permeated so much of our society that we identify ourselves by how many tasks we're doing. We identify ourselves by how much we're doing and how busy we are. It's like that phrase, don't just stand there. Do something, right? Reminds us of Martha and Mary when Jesus visited them. In this series on worship, Seeking God's Heart, last week, we were reminded from Psalm 1, the importance of worship through learning and applying the Word of God together. Let me circle back and remind, I invite you to memorize Psalm chapter 1, whatever version you like. You come to me, you tell me what your favorite chocolate bar is. If you don't want one, that's fine. I've had people turn that down, surprisingly enough. But and then whatever version, and you can give it to me, and you just remind me of Psalm 1 from the version that you memorized. I will very happily give you that chocolate bar. And for the children, the reminder, all they need to do is come to me, first 5 books of the Bible, just to recite them. I will do the same thing for them. As long as I live, you can contact me, provided that I'm fairly cognizant. Or if Trina's with me, she could help. And I will be very happy to do that. And the cool thing is, one of the cool things is that the next day, you know, I gave you a website last week of the lectionary. And the very next day, Psalm 1 was one of the readings in the lectionary readings. I thought, how awesome is that? This week, it's about the importance of worshiping through prayer. And as basic on prayer as it could be this morning, and I'll tell you why. Because statistics tell us, and understand how I say this, statistics tell us that we actually don't value prayer as much as we might say we do. And the reason I say that is because we may, in life, whether it's in our business or it's at home or it's as the church, we may say, here are the things that I value. Some people will say, here are my core values. Here's my mission. Here's my vision. Here are my core values. But I would suggest that values are only core values if we put them into practice. So if I say that something is important to me, if I were to say to you, you know what, playing the clarinet, that is a high value of mine. And I never play the clarinet, which I don't. But if I were to say, you know what, I really value it because I'd like to play it, I really don't value it then. If I say I value prayer, but it's not part of my life. If I say I value relationship with God, but it's not cultivated, I just need to be honest with myself to say, it's really better for me to say, I want to value it. Now, that's not the way everyone would agree about values, but I want to suggest that today, because this week I read an article from 2014, it's not that old, from Christianity Today, and in that article, the author was writing about how much evangelicals pray based on a survey that was done. And in the survey, evangelicals, 90% of the respondents to this particular survey said that they read the Bible to some degree most every day. Woo, that's a good percentage. But then when they were honest about how many pray on a daily basis, anybody want to take a stab? 2,250. No, that's just a number that I can't get out of my head. About 30%. About 30%, these are evangelicals in the survey, about 30% of them said, yes, I pray on a daily basis. And so for that reason, and not that reason alone, topically this morning, I just want to encourage for us to enjoy prayer. And really that was my desire last week when we talked about God's Word. It's not about pushing it on us and guilting us. It's about saying, enjoy the Word of God. Because the Word of God gives life. And relationship with the one who authored the Word of God and revealed himself to us through nature and creation, and most especially through the written Word and through the living Word, who is Jesus himself, and the ongoing presence of the Holy Spirit, we should enjoy getting into God's Word. We could say that prayer is a doing thing, but when somebody rattles off or puts on Facebook all the things that they're doing today, it's unlikely that you're going to hear them say or post, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't get to the party last night. Yesterday, I just had one of those mornings. You know, it was just so busy. I got praying, and I got busy praying. You know how you get started praying, and you just can't stop talking to God, listening to God. One subject leads to the next, and all of a sudden, time has flown by. The morning became the afternoon, and I had some other things I needed to do. I just don't have time to get to the party because I was so busy praying. Hey, most of the time, if we were to come up with something like that, we would be looked at sideways. People would respond like, you're a what? Like, can't you do something productive? And we would say, well, you know what, spiritually, that is productive. Amen? This morning, let me suggest that we don't just do something, but rather we stand there. Or better yet, we kneel there. Because again, the word worship, it's an irony. It's an unexpected opposite. Worship means, the primary words, Old Testament and New, means to kneel down, means to kneel forward. It can mean to prostrate ourselves. It's something we don't do very often. We talk about, we sing about worship, but worship literally is about bending the knee, surrendering the heart to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If we take worship seriously, we will enjoy God's Word, and we will enjoy talking to God. Truth is probably that when most people pray, including Christians, we do a lot of talking. We pray about ourselves. We pray about needs of others. We ask for needs to be met. And this morning, I simply want to remind us that we worship God as we pray. And here's why we ought to pray. We should pray first and foremost, I would suggest, because Jesus modeled it. And I want to become more and more, as I understand Jesus to have been on this earth. Jesus prayed for the disciples, including you and me, in John chapter 17. And he intercedes for us, so to speak, at the right hand of God. At the right hand of God, so to speak, at the right hand of the Father. He intercedes for us continually. He represents us. He intercedes for us, according to Romans 8, verse 34. He spent the night praying before he chose his closest disciples. Luke chapter 6, from verse 12. How do you pray all night? If we have the idea that prayer is about all talking and no listening, it would sound impossible. I'm not a small talker. I'm not a big talker, except when I'm supposed to, like this morning. I think it would have been so amazing and so instructive to have been able to listen in on how Jesus prayed. And that's why the disciples said to him at one point, "Teach us to pray." Not many weeks ago, we walked through the Lord's Prayer. Even on the cross, at the most difficult time, as Jesus took upon himself the sin of the world, unimaginable, he talked to the Father. So I believe that we should enjoy prayer because Jesus modeled it. We should enjoy prayer in order to listen to God's heart. Prayer is about relationship. In the same way that you have relationship with any person, I have relationship with any other person, those who are closest with us, so we have relationship with God. And that's about communicating. If you and I were to move up a step, were to move up a grade in the school of prayer, it may be because we've stopped viewing prayer as something that we simply do. We say our prayers. We pray at mealtime. We pray at bedtime. We pray in groups by talking together. I had a meeting once with a rather upset parent who wanted to meet with our youth pastor several years ago. And so we arranged a meeting, and the parent came into the room and was quite agitated, upset about some of the ways that the youth ministry was being run. And so I said, I'll be happy to sit in with you. I'd like to help here, and let's work it through together. And the parent came in and just started off. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. Let's just pray first. We start. Let's just pray before. Oh, yeah, right, of course, was the answer. And the parent just started into a really quick perfunctory prayer, as often is done at the beginning of the meeting, which was, Lord, please guide us. Lord, please help us. Lord, please lead us. Amen. And then started again. And I said, whoa. I said, we're not done praying. I said, let's just stop and let's ask the Spirit of God to guide our meeting. I believe that's a really important way to start meetings. Whenever we meet together as combined leadership, first thing to do, sometimes the last, but often usually the first thing to do is we say, let's stop and let's allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Let's ask Him to lead us. And then let's pray together for as long as we pray together. And so in that other particular occasion, there was you could feel the energy in the room. It wasn't necessarily the most positive energy, but I said, let's just stop and wait. And you see, in our agitated society where you need to do, and you know what that sounds like if you say those syllables together quickly. But if we have to do so much, stopping to allow the Spirit to nudge, to speak, to urge is essential. How else do we hear God's heart? Well, the other way we hear God's heart is by being in His Word and hearing what the Word has to say to us. In the garden, and 3 years earlier, the night before He chose the 12, I bet there were prolonged periods of silence as Jesus listened to the Father. Now, I've heard it said by some people that a set time for prayer on a regular basis is not necessary. I disagree. Somebody just shared with me this week. I was at a medical appointment, and I asked, "How are you doing?" Now, this person understood that I was talking about quality, not quantity. I said, "How are you?" And out came, "It's been a really, really difficult week because I'm separating from my husband." And it reminds me that sometimes when marriages end, or marriages begin to end, it has a lot to do with the devastatingly clear reality that communication became less and less and less. And we don't want that to happen. We don't want that to happen in our relationship with God, because if we're listening less and sharing less with the Lord, it has an effect on our spiritual walk. It's a slow drift. It's okay, and it maybe even sounds impressive to hear somebody say, I don't have a set time to pray with God because I can talk to God anytime. No, you listen to that message. It's not enough that I can pray to God anytime, but do I pray to God anytime? And I would suggest it's not either or, it's both. We need to remember that wherever we are, one of the joys that I have, because I do a fair bit of driving, is that I can just talk to God. And I ask a lot of questions when I drive. I don't think I have much, in fact, I know I have nothing that I can instruct God about. But I sure have a lot of things that I can bring to Him. And the most frequent prayer I believe that I ever ask of God is for wisdom. There's nothing that I ask for more than for His wisdom. Psalm 27 verse 4 reads, "One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple." And since we are now His temple, when we understand and we hear, "I want to be in the house of the Lord all the days of my life," you don't have to go anywhere to be in the house of the Lord. Because the Lord dwells, temples in you by His Holy Spirit. We can pray to Him anytime. And it's also important for us to have some set times that we will stop and we will listen, and we will talk. What would you say to me, Lord? What would you reveal to me? How would you direct me to pray? And then to bring Him our concerns, to bring Him our praises, to give Him our thanks, and to give Him glory. And so we should enjoy praying because Jesus modeled it, because we want to listen to God's heart. And also because God has chosen for prayer to be a vital part in fulfilling His will. He uses prayer. God doesn't need us. And any time that God says, that anyone teaches or says, "God needs you," I just would qualify that to say, God doesn't need us. God chooses to use us. And if somebody says God needs, I'm not going to stand up and say, "Wait a minute." It's just to understand God has chosen to need us. In other words, God has chosen to use us. You've maybe heard the urban legend of Mr. Grzynski. Mr. Grzynski was an elderly man who bought a new motorhome, set out on the highway to MBC or Stainer or Mishawa, I'm not sure which one. And as he set out on the highway, he set his cruise control, thinking it was autopilot. Although that technology is upon us. But he thought it was an autopilot and, well, the RV crashed. Urban legend, not true, as I understand it, but a great parable to illustrate God's design that while He could simply put the world into autopilot, that's called deism, He has given us free will not only to make moral decisions, but also to engage as instruments in carrying out His will as He continues to interact with us by His Spirit. It's like parents who could do their child's project for them. Some of my greatest work was done when my boys were in grade 2. But we don't do that for them. We ought not to do it all for them, because the design is for the child to participate and actually do the primary amount of work. As we listen to God, He may have in mind for us to encourage somebody, to show the grace to them that He has shown to us, or to warn, or to exhort. And we have to be sure that it's from the Lord, and that means it's often good. If we think that we have a word or a direction from the Lord, that we confirm it from other mature believers. Prayer can actually keep us from sin. You know, we sang about that today. We sang it in one of the songs, that when we are tempted to sin, that is the time to stop and to draw on the power of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, what we're doing is we're trying to resist sin with the flesh. But if we knowingly, and sometimes unknowingly, draw on the presence and the power of the Spirit within us, He will enable us, as He did Jesus in the desert, to resist temptation and sin. It can be a sin to not pray. 1 Samuel 12:23, "As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. I will teach you the way that is good and right." A couple months ago, when we were receiving communion together, we invited people at the end of the service to come forward for prayer. And I'm making that same offer for you today. Pastor Barry and I will be here, and any other elders who would like to join us, because I'm going to read from James chapter 5. And I want to tell you that we prayed for a number of people that day, and we always pray for God to do what He desires to do, believing without a doubt that He can. And I'm happy to report that He did, in conjunction with those prayers, He did some cool things. Here's what God's word says. "Is anyone among you suffering? He must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? He must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." And those possessive pronouns could all be feminine too. They could all be her. "And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. The Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man or woman can accomplish much." So one of the people that we prayed for was Lynn Lucas. And I'm going to invite you, Lynn, at this time. We need to hear good stories. Amen? It's maybe one of the reasons why I kind of like to jump out of my skin. But you come on right up here. It's really easy to talk to a room full of people.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely is. So we can use this and you just share.
Okay.
Amen.
Yes, I was one of those that came forward for the anointing that day. And a number of years ago, I experienced a herniated disc, which left me with a permanent flop foot, toes that were curling, and walking. When I walked, I always felt as if I had a block of wood underneath my toes. I felt pushed forward that day to come up for the anointing. And as Pastor Randall placed the cross on my forehead, I felt a sensation that I don't know what words to use to describe it running down my leg. And I will say to you, there was that moment of, "Oh, Lynn, that's just your imagination." And then I went, "No, I'm standing here in the presence of God, and I have asked for something." And it wasn't immediate, but a number of days later, I got up, and when I stepped out of bed to walk, I realized there's not a block there. Two of my toes that have been permanent or have been constantly numb and have been twisting, they were no longer numb, and two of them have started to straighten. And only Jehovah, our healer, could have done that. Amen. Now, not only that, I have a small growth on my pancreas that's been being monitored for a couple of years now. And when I went to my doctor recently after tests, which I get done on a regular basis, MRIs and CTs, he said to me, "I want to let you know that," he said, "that growth is showing signs of shrinking." Absolutely, woo. So I just want to say, prayer is answered. It's not complete all the time. I mean, I still have one toe that's bothering me. I still have that flop foot. But I can stand up here today and tell you that God did the healing that was necessary in me so that I could stand here and praise Him for that. And I could tell my non-believing family what God did in my life. So Praise to God for this. And please, anytime, if you have anything, come forward and be anointed. I'm proof of what God can do, that Jehovah is our healer.
Amen. 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 So that's partly why I want to jump out of my skin. God owes us nothing. Agreed? I heard somebody say in a meeting once, you know, everybody deserves a healing. I have a problem with that. We don't deserve anything from God. What we deserve is, because of our sinfulness, we deserve condemnation, but God has chosen to give us grace. And so it's not what we deserve. God doesn't owe it to us. But God, in His grace and His mercy, may choose to heal. And He could heal everyone of everything at this very moment. But that's not His choice. That's not His doing at this time. But the day is going to come when there will be no more tears. There will be no more pain, because all healing will find its complete fulfillment when we see Jesus as He is. Hallelujah. Amen. But even though God owes us nothing, we follow the Scriptures, and we come before Him and we pray. And we pray believing. We pray not with doubt. And we leave it with the Lord what He will do. And there's one reason, I believe. One reason only. Please remember this. I know we've gone over time. And we won't sing a last song. But it's been a great morning. There's one reason to pray for healing. And that is, we pray for healing. Jesus said this when He healed. We pray for healing for God's glory. That's why we pray for healing. And if you read through the New Testament, when the prayer of healing is answered, almost every time when somebody is healed, you know what else happens? People get saved. You read through the New Testament. You see the times when Jesus healed, people believed. And I understand from Scripture that the reason God heals is in order to receive glory. There's no greater reason than for God to work and act. And often it leads to people believing because they see the amazing things that God has done. God does not heal for our personal benefit first. That can be secondary. Amen? I'm okay with that. But that's not the primary reason. Primary reason is because God deserves glory. God deserves praise. And may we be encouraged as we end this morning to enjoy relationship with God. Talk to Him about anything. Bring our prayers with Him. Bring our prayers to Him, and to not just do it alone, but together. So again, as Pastor Barry mentioned earlier, invite you next Sunday evening. It's going to be at 6:30, just to come together and pray as a church. And not then only, because come September, Wednesday evening, Wednesday morning, the same invitation is there. But over the summer, we want to take these two special times, third Sunday of July, third Sunday of August, come together in the evening to sing together, to pray. All of it is worship, and to give God glory. If you want to come forward after the service for prayer, we'd be very happy to pray for you, because we want to be obedient to what God has called us to do. Let's pray together. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we give You glory and honor and praise. We give You thanks. Lord, You are deserving of every good gift. You are deserving of all praise. You are exalted. You are majestic. You alone are holy, holy, holy. You alone are righteousness. You are the peace that passes understanding. Even though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, we will fear no evil, for you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your church, your people. And as we go from this place, Lord, I pray for your continued blessing upon each person, upon each family, and upon Markham Missionary Church. We continue to pray, Lord, for your leading as the search committee is soon completed and will soon meet together once completed. And as we prayerfully put out the word once again about the desire for a lead pastor, we ask you, Lord, to continue leading, for you are faithful. And so, Lord, I pray your blessing upon this people, this church. And we pray in the name of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit for your glory. We pray in your name. And all God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you. Please know the Weens are going to be in the foyer for you to talk to. And so will a bunch of other people that you can talk to. We'll also have probably refreshments. So God bless you today and this week.